Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Time to get into the music scene. Find out what's going on. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you guys doing?
Very well. Thank you for asking. I was looking at your...
The list.
For total transparency, Gary sends us a list every Thursday night that we go pour over before we get on with it. And I was looking, where do I want to start today? I'm thinking, okay. That's not a happy story. I thought, well, let's start with Adam Ant going to open his tour in Milwaukee.
Yeah, isn't that a cool thing? You know, he is, all these years later, we still like our Adam Ant. He's going to start a North American tour September 4th at the Pabst Theater. He will be performing his 1982 solo debut album, Friend or Foe. That's the one that has Goody Two Shoes and Desperate But Not Serious on it. He'll be doing that in its entirety.
So, don't drink, don't smoke. What do you do?
Exactly. So that, just, you know, everybody can put their kind of, you know, new romantic clothes on, you know, go look like they're dressing to be part of the cast of Hamilton. And go check out Adam Ant.
It's Hamilton, and is it leather or is it latex, or what does Billy wear? What did he wear?
Adam Ant.
Yeah, Adam Ant, not
no,
Billy.
They called it New Romantic at the time, but it was like colonial, you know, Revolutionary War Hamilton clothes.
Colonial hot.
Yeah, chic, colonial chic.
All right, Woodstock's 50th and Lollapalooza lineups are shaping up. Are they solid now, or are we still?
They are solid. Last week when we spoke, you know, the Woodstock lineup had kind of leaked. It's out now. Nothing that we really didn't know about. And then there's been a lot of back and forth, you know, especially on the internet about whether this is a Woodstock caliber lineup or not. And the thing with these festivals now, guys, is that, you know, back in 1969, and even in 94 and 99, when they had the other Woodstocks, the big summer weekend camping festival was not a thing in the U.S. It's been big in Europe for decades. The U.S. did not have them. And then in the wake of the Coachellas and the Bonnaroos and Lollapalooza, you know, Austin City Limits, all these big festivals, they're not such a big deal anymore. They're happening every weekend, often multiple festivals every weekend. So Woodstock, because of its name, labors under this great expectation that it can't necessarily fulfill. I think this is a really good, solid Woodstock lineup, and it goes everywhere from Woodstock alumni like Santana and John Fogerty to even Canned Heat to contemporary Greta Van Fleet and the Black Keys, Imagine Dragons. You have pop stuff like Miley Cyrus. It really is a big, diverse, across-the-board lineup. What it doesn't have, though, is that thing that you're only going to be able to see at Woodstock, whether it's a Led Zeppelin reunion or a special Paul McCartney concert or something that you can just hang, that Woodstock can hang his hat on and say it's going to happen here and nowhere else. That's what it doesn't have.
The original Woodstock, the first one, what name were they hanging their hat on for that? Because a lot of the acts that were there became, you know, big after Woodstock, right?
Oh, yeah, right. But what happened, you know, but back then there weren't, every weekend didn't have multiple huge festivals like that. Just the concept of a huge festival and getting all the hippies together in a field for a weekend, that was the hook. You know, that was what made it special. And they did have superstars. Listen, Jimi Hendrix, you know, Jefferson Airplane, The Who, these were all huge, huge names, Joan Baez, you know, at the time. So having all of them in one place for one weekend was a big deal. Now it happens every weekend during the summer.
But the original spirit of Woodstock is long gone. The original organizers would be vomiting if they saw how commercialized it had become now, right?
Well, the original producers of Woodstock are putting on Woodstock 50. So it's still going to be, you know, a weekend of peace, love, music, okay, but add a weekend of peace, love, music, and give us your money.
Yeah.
Type of thing. That's just the nature of that.
Plenty of toilets, though, this time, right?
Yeah, enough toilets?
Yeah, I'm sure there will be enough toilets. I'm sure water will not be as expensive as it was in 99. There will be a different set of security. The Watkins Glen site they're on is also a little more suited to what they're doing than the place they did it in 99. The 94 place was actually pretty nice.
Okay.
But and then Lollapalooza also announced its lineup. That's August 1st through 4th down in Chicago, and they have you know, Slash, Death Cab for Cutie. They're very pop this year down at Woodstock. Janelle Monáe, Lil Wayne, Jay Blavin, Little Baby, Little Skies, Madean, Tommy Impala. It's not the big alternative rock names that have dominated it in the past. Maybe this is about all they could get, you know, this summer, or maybe it is a conscious decision to kind of change and be more of an alternative festival to Woodstock, to Bonnaroo, to Coachella. Not so much try to compete with them, but try to be something a little different.
Motley Crue's The Dirt.
Yeah, that airs tonight, debuting today.
Right. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen it yet. Okay. They've been a little bit stingy with the screeners, and as I'm seeing a few reviews out there, I'm starting to understand why. It's not getting particularly good reviews. It sounds like it's a little cursory and one-dimensional. You know, doesn't go into a great deal of depth, and for the Motley Crue, and basically portrays them as these sex, drug, and rock and roll demons, and goes to the least common denominator, which certainly is part of the story. But there was a lot of nuance to that band and that band's story that would be nice to see treated in a good way. But it doesn't sound like it's done it. We'll be able to judge for ourselves. It's probably streaming right now, I think. I think these shows go at the start of the day.
Sure, midnight. Why would they wait?
Also, a new soundtrack album for The Dirt that's out today with four new songs by Motley Crue, including a remake of Madonna's "Like a Prayer."
That ought to be interesting.
Yeah.
Not that I really cared for "Like a Prayer" by Madonna, but you know, let the crew do it too. How long is this thing?
It's a couple hours.
Okay, so it's not going to be a 4 or 6 hours.
It probably would have been suited to one of their short series. Like, you know, do 3 2-hour episodes or something. I think, you know, especially when you have a platform like Netflix where you just kind of put it up there and stream it, it's a great, yeah, I think about, you know, like how things like, you know, book adaptations, say the Harry Potter series or something, even Lord of the Rings, although Peter Jackson did such a great job with that. Those, you know, those could have been handled on these streaming services really in the entirety, you know, kind of like Game of Thrones that people really love.
Speaking of documentaries, have you seen the Michael Jackson thing? Because his kids aren't happy with it.
Oh, no. You know, I think we, you know, Finding Neverland, of course, has made a huge, huge splash. And it's, you know, very disturbing movie, you know, documentary, long one, too. It's like, what was it, 4 hours long. So, you know, Michael's kids are kind of up in arms. They are threatening to sue. There's actually already been a lawsuit filed by the estate against HBO for claiming that HBO violated a defamation clause in a contract that it signed when it aired on Michael Jackson's Bucharest Dangerous Tour concert back in 1992. The estate saying that agreement is still intact. You know, meanwhile, Paris and Prince and Prince Michael, or Blanket, if you prefer to call them, are considering suing Wade Robeson and James Safechuck. Those are the guys who were the subject of the Leaving Neverland documentary, basically saying, you know, fraud, lie, you know, that they lied, emotional distress, slander, misrepresentation, all the usual. A lot of fallout still from Finding Neverland. Children's Museum of Indianapolis has removed 3 Michael Jackson items that they have on display, but there's also, and I don't know that we necessarily call it support, but certain things are coming out. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has, you know, was asked and has said that Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5 will remain in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They're not going to bump him because of these allegations, and that the items that are in the Hall of Fame and Museum in Cleveland will remain there. Madame Tussauds is going to keep them. It's Michael Jackson statues in the, you know, in its displays as well. The you know, the Grammy Museum has an exhibition that it's going to maintain, and this Don't Stop Till You Get Enough musical is still on track to debut on Broadway next year. They did cancel, they were going to open it in Chicago, you know, do the workshops or whatever you would call it in Chicago, but they've canceled that, and they're claiming it's not because of Finding Neverland, but just because they don't have their act together yet to put this on.
So
this will be something we'll be talking about for a while.
Over time, do you think he'll be removed from more and more places?
The only thing that would happen was if this somehow went to court, in any way, and these guys were proven, you know, were able to prove that they were, that they're right, that these things really happened. You know, right now they still stand as allegations.
Yeah.
You know, the thing being, in the court of public opinion, what you can do with an HBO special now is be guilty before, you know, guilty, you know, before being proven innocent.
Meanwhile, Ariana Grande has to shovel money to Rodgers and Hammerstein. Rogers,
you know, yeah, the Rodgers and Hammerstein estate is getting rich again. Ariana Grande's latest, this new single she has out, which is called, what is it called? Seven Rings. It samples a bit of My Favorite Things from The Sound of Music. Mm. And in order to do that, the Rodgers and Hammerstein estate said, probably, I imagine, the negotiation going something like, okay, you want to use it, give us 100% of the songwriting royalties for the song. And
100%?
Ariana Grande's camp said, no, how about this, that, you know, the other, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein Estates winding up with 90% of the songwriting royalties for that song.
Wow.
So considering the album, you know, her album debuted at number one, they're going to make a little money from this.
Should she have just, like, made a phone call first?
That's what they do. You know, they come up with a song and, you know, they sample it. And she's it's one song on an entire album. So it's a nice piece of money, but she's still making plenty of money.
And the estate is obviously their heirs.
Right. It would be their heirs and whoever else was appointed as successors to the legacy.
Wonder how many times that gets chopped up when it gets.
But still, you know, it's you know. Kudos to the estate for doing due diligence.
Unexpected cash that they didn't see coming in.
Exactly.
Elton John's memoirs. Do I care to know about those?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think, well, you know, he's at least promising it's going to be the truth and nothing but the truth. We'll see. It's coming out in October. And he posted a message on social media saying, my life's been one hell of a roller coaster ride, and I'm now ready to tell you my story in my own words. You know, hopefully it will be, you know, more like The Dirt, you know, let's say, than something like Linda Ronstadt's memoir, which was a whole lot of nothing. I have a feeling he'll do a good job. He, you know, when you've seen these, you know, this is the guy who let, what was it, Tantrums and Tiaras, the documentary that his husband made. He let that out in the world, and that didn't show him in the greatest light.
I was just going to bring that up and go, but haven't we been down this road with Elton John already with the documentary?
But that was more of like a lifestyle look. It wasn't really a documentary chronicle. So I know I myself would like to see what Elton John has to say about his life.
What about Joni Mitchell?
Joni Mitchell has another book coming out, too. This is going to be October 22nd. It's called Morning Glory on the Vine, Early Songs and Drawings. So it's not a memoir. It's just more of kind of an arty book, you know, handwritten lyrics, poems.
Would she have, I don't know, dirt?
Oh, yeah.
To dish in her
Joni life? Mitchell?
Just,
what?
You know, if she did a book about all her boyfriends, it would be, you know, it would make The Dirt look like.
Well, I'd be embarrassed to be in that book. You dated Joni Mitchell?
Oh, yeah. You know, Graham Nash, David Crosby. Okay. There were a ton of them.
So she dated half of another band.
At least. there may be things we don't know about the other two, but you know, oh no, she has a real romantic history there that would be fascinating.
Is she gonna,
I also don't think she'll ever do that.
Is she gonna have any David Geffen stories? Because she was one of David Geffen's favorites years ago.
I have no doubt she does.
Ew.
But you know, at this point she's still recovering from her own health issues, and I don't know, I don't see her being the kind of person to write a tell-all book.
No, yeah.
All right, so where do we finish up then today?
A little dirt going on. You know, let's go with our headbangers here. A little dirt going on with Slipknot. They have fired Chris Fain, who's one of their original percussionists. He's not the clown. He's the guy on the other side of the stage with the Jagundis nose. And they fired him last week for issues, they say, surrounding pay and compensation. Word was he was going to sue them over money, and that the band fired him instead. Corey Taylor, the singer, you know, posted on social media early this week that you're going to hear a lot of BS this week coming from him. You know, Chris knows why he was fired, and you know that they're disappointed he's choosing to put false claims out there. So we'll see. They've got an album coming out this summer. They're going to be out on the road. This is two guys they bumped from the band over the years, and a third, the original bass player, passed away. So the ranks of Slipknot are slipping.
I'm always interested in how it works out where some guys owned the band, like four guys to get together and have a band, but after a while, two guys own it, or one guy does, and everyone else is, you got to move along. We'll replace
kind of it. You set it up. You do set it up like a corporate structure, and the guys who are the owners, you know, the shareholders in the band, call the shots.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I always wonder how that happened.
I know you're enjoying the tournament so far because Michigan State won yesterday.
And Michigan won last night.
And Michigan won. Can you be a fan of both of those teams and live in Michigan? I thought you had to pick one or the other.
If you're not from Michigan and didn't go to either, you can't.
And it's not like Marquette, Wisconsin, because they're both in the Big Ten, so you... I have cousins there who have allegiances to one or the other.
Oh, it's really strong. And listen, our household is split because we have one person who's a Michigan partisan, and I'm technically a Michigan State tuition paying alumni for my daughter. So, but you know, I'm happy for both. I'm happy whenever either one wins because that means friends of mine are happy, and I would love to see them meet in the Final Four. That was for a fourth time in a month. That would be epic.
All right. We'll sit back and watch, Gary.
For sure.
And keep tracking music news. We'll talk again next Friday, okay?
Okay, you guys take care.
It's Gary Graff, our music expert. You get him here every Friday morning.